this is interesting. Things that you thought you wanted to do that haven't happened. I haven't booked skydiving.
I haven't booked skydiving either, but that wasn't on my list.
Welcome to Art Juice. This is honest, generous, and humorous conversations that will feed your creative soul and get you thinking with me, Alice Sheridan.
And me, Louise Fletcher.
Today might be a little bit of a rustling of paper episode. Yes, the post-it notes are still over my desk. That is something I still need to be working on. But we thought we would have a little bit of a chat about reflecting back on the year, not in terms of super planning-y for next year, but just in terms of how things have gone, looking back, what we're noticing when we take time to look at it, rather than perhaps how we might immediately imagine it. But before we get into that, what have you been doing this week?
I've been prepping, and this isn't self-promotion, because by the time this comes out, it'll be over. But I've been prepping for a little flash studio sale. I started to have a clear out of my studio and realised there's a lot of things I've been hanging on to, little bits and pieces from different projects that I haven't let go of. Nothing, you know, just bits on paper. And I thought, I put a lot of things on a bonfire. And I thought, am I going to put these on the bonfire? I still like them.
Yeah.
So I decided I have a little studio sale pre-Christmas. I never get round to giving people an opportunity to buy something before Christmas. I'm never organized enough. And then I thought, does it have to be a big deal? Or can I just, you know, I can do this quickly. So I don't have millions of things. I have about 32, I think, little paper pieces or pieces on paper that will be bargains. And then in some kind of miracle in the last few weeks, my creativity's all come back and I finished 6 paintings. And I thought, they're not a big series. They don't have a great big concept behind them. I just really love them. And instead of my usual big launch, I just think I'm going to put them on my website at the same time and see if anyone wants them. So I've been working on that. So of course you think it's not a lot, but then you've got to photograph everything. And in the case of the paintings, you've got to paint the edges and varnish them and find frames for them and all of that kind of thing. So I've been doing that, but I'm quite enjoying that because it's the clearing out feeling. Yes. And the reason I think it's so important to get rid of these little pieces is, and so I'm going to either sell them or burn them. Like if they don't go in a week, they're going. That's it. Because I feel like I need the mental space to just say everything's new. In whatever I do next. And the stuff I'm hanging on to needs to go. Feels a bit like shedding a skin. So that's mainly what I've been up to this week.
I love that. I love the doing it at the right time. Like the inspiration has struck for doing it. And it just feels like, why couldn't I just do this? Like we get so up in our own heads about making these things bigger than they have to.
Yes. Like, and does it, you know, nobody might want these things and then I'll just put them on the bonfire. It doesn't matter. But we do, we get all time. And then I've got to do a sales page and then I'll have to do I? Or can I just, I've done a couple of social media posts and I'll put it in my newsletter on Sunday and that's it.
And I think, you know, the reality is that there is a certain amount of work of putting that stuff together. But even if you weren't being as definitive as, okay, even if they don't sell, I'll put them on the bonfire. The work is done at that point for getting them up and out. And I often think that hurdle, that I've got to do everything and get it together. And the fact that you're doing it when it feels the right time for you is what gets you through that. It's a little bit like what we were talking about last week, whereas I'm in the opposite. I'm like, I've got things to sell. I can't be bothered to put the page together. I don't want to deal with couriers before Christmas. I'm kind of in the opposite space, and that's all right too.
Yeah, exactly. Because I haven't been doing, I mean, since I think it was about April that I put my last paintings up for sale.
Yeah.
And since then I've had very little inspiration to paint, and certainly none to put anything up for sale. And what I like about doing it this way, just putting a few up, is it's very easy to varnish and paint edges on six, but when you've done 20, it's monumental. It's that, or 40 in the case of that exhibition last year. That's just a lot of work. So I might not go the collection route for a while. I might just do this. Like, I've got something. Do you want it? If you don't, it's fine. But here it is.
There's something that's so lovely in that that I've been thinking a lot about this week. I've come up with a three little thing, which I might not talk about today, but one of the middle parts of that is appreciation, and not in the sense of like a gratitude journal or anything like that, but the appreciation for yourself of where you are, what stage you're at, what capacity you have, and whatever you're doing being okay for you right now. Mm-hmm. Like appreciation of what else is going on in your life, or an appreciation of how much energy you feel you have, or where your interests or your desires lay. And I think it's a part that's so often missing between the desire for what we want to do, like the intentions, and the action taking, go get it, do it thing. And it just fell into place this week as a like real middle gap that is so important as a stage between those two things.
Yeah.
And I love it, because what you're talking about is really kind of embracing that.
Yeah, that's a good point. And you've been talking about human design in your membership club, and in human design, my manifestor profile is very much this thing of creative urges. And if you don't have a creative urge, don't bother, which I really struggle with. I try and push myself to do things, even though, but when I get that urge, and I know this is the same for everyone, I just think it's more exaggerated maybe in certain profiles. But for me, if I get the creative urge, it couldn't be easier.
Yeah.
It's like, oh God, because I said to someone, oh, it'll take me a few days to photograph all this work and get it up on the website. It was done by that afternoon because I was in the mode of doing it.
Whereas
if I'm not, it's just a slog. So yeah, it's a bit annoying having to wait though, because you're sitting around twiddling your thumbs like, when am I going to get a creative urge? How about you? What's your week been like?
Well, my urge has not been creative so much as I said to my daughter, it's a little bit like putting makeup on an unwashed face, right? I don't want to get any of the Christmas decorations out until I feel the house is clean and sorted underneath. Mm-hmm. So that has involved two of us, and I have to say it has been brilliant with two of us having that kind of rebound energy and discussion. What we have been doing is we started to sort of clear out a bit of one of the cupboards, which has swiftly moved to almost every single cupboard and room in the house. It's been a mammoth undertaking, but it hasn't felt like that. It's felt like, oh, this feels so good. And it's about this space clearing. Like, I give you a really silly example, the bottom of a cupboard that's got, you know, there's sort of things in the kitchen that you don't use that often, so they go in a cupboard that's a bit out of the way. And this little stack of boxes, electric candles, none of which worked. And I'm like, what are these here for? They've been there for 10 years since my 40th birthday party.
They were one of those things that you thought, I'm not throwing these away. I don't know where to put them. I'll just put them in here.
Yeah. And the lovely thing of finding them and going, okay, they don't work. This is a no-brainer. They can go. But when you've found that and realized that you've given that, not mental space in this case, but house space, storage space, which has stopped space for other things coming in, or actually just enjoying the space, when you come across something else and you think, what about this? Should we save this for another time? Like, there was quite a useful like little strapping roll thing for a picnic blanket, and my husband said, well, what about this? Are we keeping this? And I was thinking, oh, you could use that for a tube, like, you know, you're carrying a roll of straps on your shoulder. No, No. Where is it going to go? Where I'll think of it at the time? Am I going to go to get it? No. It was part of a freebie thing. It can go out, be gone. So we have been doing all of that.
I love it. I love clearing out. When we left our house in New York, it was a 5-bedroom house for two of us. It was way bigger than we needed. And several rooms were just full of junk.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't realize until we cleared them out to move,
mm-hmm.
and then got them decorated and sorted out, I didn't realize how much weight I was carrying every time I walked past that closed door that I knew in that room was boxes of old videotapes or whatever nonsense we had. It weighs you down mentally. And when you clear that cupboard or that room or whatever, you just feel so much better and your house feels lighter. And I love that you're doing that before you put the decorations up, because it'll feel so much nicer. They're not hiding. You don't have to put things up on that cupboard door to hide what you know is behind it.
It's funny too, because we have discovered in the process, like there's a cupboard that we have on the landing that has sheets and stuff in. One of those I think is entirely empty from a previous time I did it that I'd complete. I'm so bad with cupboards. Once the door's closed, I literally forget what is inside them. Sometimes I have to label them it's not a good thing. But we also thought, oh, it'd be nice to get all the photos out. And we knew that there was a box of photos somewhere, and where I was like crawling in like the loft. We don't have a full loft, but we've got loft spaces in the top rooms, crawling through there to try and find them. Went into one of the cupboards, found a stack of my old paintings from about 10 years ago.
Oh, wow.
They are going on the bonfire.
Oh, but you've got to show us them first.
No.
Oh, that would be so interesting.
No. It really wouldn't.
I'll get mine.
Anyway, yours are
a crap off.
I have got some that I have kept, but these can just go. And it's interesting because obviously at the time that I put them in the cupboard, I felt they can't go yet. I need to keep these. And now I don't feel that anymore. So I think that's what's interesting about this process, is that you feel that it's changed and it's different. So yeah, that's what I've been doing.
Okay, so talking about clearing mental space, I think doing this, like going back over your year, I know we're a bit early because it's November still. Well, by the time this comes out, it'll be December. But we're not doing another podcast after this episode until the new year. We're having a break. Yay! So we thought this would be a good time to talk about this, but I find this something similar. It just struck me in going back over the year and thinking about it. It's like clearing out the stuff in my head, and it makes space for whatever is going to come next.
Yeah.
But I said to you when you said, will we talk about planning? And I said, we said, no, we're not going to do that. And I said, but it just seems like, what's the point anyway? Because in recent years, for both of us, I think, life has like thrown things at you, and the best laid plans, as many people know listening. But I think there's still something to having a plan, which I did at the beginning of the year, that gives you focus so that when crap comes up and things happen and you can't work for a while, or you can't work in the same way, at least you have something to come back to. You don't get completely, I think of it a bit like a boat on the ocean that gets completely swept away, or it has an anchor, and even though the storm comes, it's still anchored somewhere. So I do think there's a point to having a loose plan at the beginning of the year, but definitely this year my plan was a lot looser than it's been in prior years.
Yeah, so I have my little notebook, which I call my annual planner, and I've done that now for 1, 2, 3 since 2015.
Wow.
So there's a nice little stack of them, and it is interesting. I have to say, there's some good stuff in, there's some junk in some of these pages, but there is some good stuff in here too, often just as a place to leave things. But when I went to get it for this year, I have been using it differently this year. I didn't want at the start of the year to feel like I had everything fixed and in place, and as a result I hadn't been using it so much as a calendar planner. It's more been, it's had an outline of the year at the beginning, and then it's just been a notebook for ideas. But more of the project ideas and things like that have been digital and online. And as a result, I haven't felt as connected with this book. It hasn't felt as much part of my life or a place that I go to work things out. And in some sense, I'm actually quite interested to see that it is full, because I thought I would pick it up again and see it actually only half the pages are full. I started the year differently. I started trying to use a different system, not the system that had worked for me. And as a result, I didn't stick with it.
Right. That's interesting, isn't it? It's worth trying, though. It's worth trying to see if it's better than what you've been doing. But
yeah, I haven't bought my one for next year, partly because I'm thinking about maybe going bigger, maybe going to an A4 book so that I have more space to write ideas out. I've been feeling that, like, when I've been writing ideas, I've been doing them on, we've got a whole bunch of like big A4 lined notebooks that I've left over from the children at school. I've been using those because they feel a little bit more expansive, and I just wonder if I need a bigger page to do for next year. But yeah, no, this year in a way I didn't set as many intentions. It was much looser. I wanted to be open to doing other things that weren't art related, which have happened. It's been interesting to look and develop in different directions. So I've done NLP training, EFT, I've done this business certification that included some energy work. And somehow in amongst that, I've done open studios just and an art fair.
What I find interesting about mine is, it's a lot, I'd written a lot less than I usually do in terms of goals for the year. I was just looking at, I haven't looked at it until we sat down to do this, but there were basically three business things I'd written down, which was increase the price of my course for this year to reflect its true value. I always felt it should be $9.95 and I never charged that. And this year I finally got it to that level. So I did do that.
Yeah.
Make a new series of abstract work, which sells out. So I did make the series. I was left with one piece. So it was, but it was only a small series. It was about 12 paintings, no, maybe 16. And that was at the beginning of the year, about April. So I did do that and grow my mailing list in preparation for my course launch. I did do that. I stuck to everything I said I would do on that. But then I have this fourth block, which is, it's freedom and peace, I've written. Like, and then I gave myself some things to do to make that, some practical things. For example, I'm not going to give you everything because some are a bit personal, but I've got down, pay more attention to health. I've got down, redesign Art Tribe to be less heavy workload for me. I've got move, ? I decided not to move. I was going to move areas, and when my mum got ill, I just decided that's out, but at least I was in progress with that.
Yeah, so you were thinking that that might be a whole different area of the country, but that actually is in progress in a different way.
Hopefully in progress.
Yeah.
Touch wood. And then I wrote more trips away. And that is something I'm just beginning towards the end of the year to actually start doing. But what I find interesting is, we talked about this before, about making space for painting. My absolute commitment to concrete goals that are about work, I do them. If I write them in here, I do them. And then my complete lack of commitment to anything that's about my own happiness and ease, because there's other things on this list that didn't happen as well. And my goal for next year is to really make, maybe in this book, the only things I am allowed to write as objectives will be in this area of freedom and peace. Maybe I'm not going to let myself write on this side, on this work side. I'll include painting in the freedom and peace. I'll include making paintings in there. But it's just interesting how I cannot, you know, every time I think you should go for a walk for health reasons, you should go for a walk, I think, but I could get a bit of painting time in, but I could, you know, there's always something else that I would rather do. And my short-term preference takes over from my longer-term knowledge of what's good for me. And that's kind of the story of my life. I'd rather paint. I don't get enough time for that at the moment. I'll do that instead of going for that walk. Because the whole time I'm on that walk, I'll be thinking I should be painting. So I did start trying to dance while I'm painting. So I'm trying to get both in. I'm trying to move while I'm doing it.
Combining things.
Yeah, so I feel like if I look at this, I did have a successful business year. I had a less successful art year in the sense that I didn't make very much. Completely lost my inspiration after that series in April until just very recently when it suddenly come back. And I was quite stressed about that the whole time it was happening, which probably made it worse. Like, why am I not wanting to paint? Why? Some days I didn't even want to paint, and I always want to paint.
Yeah, that's quite different for you, isn't it? I'm quite used to it.
I just didn't want to. It's like, ugh, bleh. And I thought what you said a few months ago, maybe I'm just not. I was talking to someone who said to me, well, what would you say if I said to you, you're not an artist? And I'm like, my whole body went into this horrible, no, I don't want you to say that to me. And I did feel quite stressed about it. And yet it was just one of those things that comes and goes, because now I'm filled with new ideas and excitement, and I can't wait to be able to get on with some of them. And I'm making space for that. So that big lull in the middle of the year was just a lull. It wasn't anything to worry about.
But it's what we make it mean, isn't it?
Mm.
I mean, I've had that a little bit this year with the not painting, and thinking about it now, actually, I haven't actually checked my list, my inventory list. I think by the end of the year, I actually have made quite a lot of paintings, but it's felt like not as much. I don't want to use the word productive. It's felt much gentler in terms of the painting, which has been a bit frustrating at times. And I've certainly had moments that we've spoken about on here where I even felt like, well, if I'm not painting, if I'm not interested in doing it, am I even an artist? And also, I feel like this year has been one of the years where I have learnt most about what's important to me in the paintings that I do and how I like to achieve that. That is a big win.
Actually, that's true for me too. I feel like, do you feel like the way it feels to me is like the cogs were moving, but they weren't making any sense.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't even aware of thinking about what do I want, but it was happening. And then all of a sudden it's clicked into place. So I feel like I can now express what it is I'm trying to do and why. And from that has come a couple of ideas for processes that link into what I want to achieve, new processes. So it all kind of fit together without me consciously sitting there trying to make it fit together, which is interesting.
Yeah.
So that rest period is maybe what we need to have that happen. Sorry, I talked over you.
I think it's perhaps, maybe it's not so much of the rest period as knowing that sometimes these things just take time. Like, we're talking about this at the end of December, completely arbitrary in a way. Like, it's not even the end of winter, it's the middle of winter. Like, if you're doing it seasonally, winter doesn't finish until when? Like, I don't know, but it certainly doesn't feel like winter's finished until probably the end of February still feels winter.
Mm.
You know, why are we talking about this now? Because we've got this complete false system of January to December when it's all a cycle anyway. And I think so often we put slightly funny boundaries or edges around something that we think should take a certain amount of time, and it takes longer than that. And it's no surprise to me, and I've certainly noticed this before as well, that you might have something in your ideas that you want to do in January, and it only actually does happen in December. It takes all that time, and I don't know if it's helpful or not, but it takes all that time of having it there as a thing. This is a thing I wanted to do. It hasn't happened. This is a thing. Why is this not happening? Oh, actually, look, certainly something is happening. And what I'm interested in now is, Is that part of it, the process of sitting down at any point and saying, this is what I would like, this is what I'm interested in pursuing, this is what I'm exploring as an intention, is that necessary? And my instinctive feel is that it is. It's how we deal with the patch in the middle when we're not doing it. And again, it goes back to my thing about appreciation of capacity. I don't know how helpful it is to have those things as a list at the beginning of the year, which you feel like you're not getting to all year. But that's a little bit of a mindset switch. It's like, what's on your radar and what are you working on now? And then it goes back to your anchor idea. And it's okay if it's taking a little bit of time because I can always come back to it. But I think without doing that intentional awareness type of setting, then it really feels drifty.
Yeah, I agree. And that period of not knowing, so I've said to you before, I just want to make raw and authentic paintings. And you said, what does authentic mean? And I was like, I can't tell you, but I'd know it if I was doing it and I'm not doing it. And so I had that whole period where I couldn't put into words what that is, just like you've just described. And now I can say, and I can say why, but I didn't sit there and analyze it to death and write it all out. It just has somehow clicked into place for me recently that, oh, right, I know why now. So now I can talk about it to other people when it comes time to do that. Now, as I say, once you get clear on all the why, and it also guides the process for me anyway, to say, right, so what process would get that result? What different to what I'm doing now, and what parts of what I'm doing now need to stay and what parts need to go, et cetera, et cetera. So it becomes very practical, but I think what a lot of people try and do is rush to the practical.
Yeah.
Get my studio ready, right, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. Maybe that's what I was doing. And you're not there yet, so you can't start doing the thing because it's not fully. If I can't explain to you what I mean, how can I make paintings with that clarity? I can't. So they're drifty. And so what tends to happen for me with a drifty period is everything I make is very clearly drifty. Like, you could look at it and you could say, well, you have no, what are you actually doing in this painting? Well, I don't know, to be honest. And the I don't know comes right out at you. Like, there's nothing to it. So it's just about understanding then that it's not a rest. It's, what is it?
I was going to say, but it's not a rest. It's like the opposite of a rest. It's quite
it's
hard.
It's not a rest. It's a clicking into place happening when you're not aware of it happening. You're not aware of it until it, oh, that's it. Or certainly for me anyway, it comes as one like flash, not as a series of little realizations. Maybe that's different for other people.
I think there's so much of what we do that's, we've talked before about making a painting and about this dance, for me anyway, between the analytical understanding side of it and the painting and exploring and being in flow and not being short, and like the ability to move quickly in and out of both of those states. And like, I really feel that almost as a physical dance. Mm. And I think it's very much the same with what we're talking about is how you move through life, right? And there are some things that are conscious decisions, and there are some things that actually happen subconsciously. You're working on them, things float up to the surface, and while you can't always be totally knowledgeable about that, I think you can learn to be more aware of dipping in, like poking down below the surface, stirring things up and seeing what lifts up, so that it becomes part of the way that you choose to operate or respond or react.
Mm.
How you make things happen in your life, what decisions you say yes to or no to. Like, we can do that subconsciously. You can do that on autopilot, or you can do that with a sense of awareness. And some of that is about dropping things. Some of that is about recognizing, yeah, I put way too many things on my to-do list. I give myself far too much to do. I like to keep myself busy. And also I like to have periods of rest. So how do I manage those two spaces together? Like there's no end. There's no December is the end.
No, it feels like it to me. Feels like tying up the year with a bow and starting afresh. And when I lived in America, every New Year's Eve, we would go to Central Park in New York and watch fireworks. And that felt like, right, done, on with the next year. And sometimes I'd be standing there crying because it'd been a horrible year and I didn't know what the next year was going to be. Sometimes I'd be really happy and excited, but I always felt like, yeah, that's the end of it. But I know for you, I think you go much more seasonally in your feeling. So you feel like spring is the beginning. I bet lots of people do.
Well, September often. This year, not so much because I just
do what I'm told. See, September always feels like dying time to me. When people say I love fall, I'm like, how can you? When it's just, everything's dying and now winter's coming. And it feels, I always feel like that's an ending. Maybe that's my natural ending. When the leaves start falling.
That'd be interesting, wouldn't it?
Spring definitely feels like my beginning. I'm sure it does for everyone. Spring feels, you can't help it with everything being born. And, but yeah, I do like January. And I like the fact that the new year gives us something. In the UK, January and February are miserable. So it gives us something to at least be looking forward to if we're thinking of it as a new year.
Yeah, we got married in January for that reason. We just got married so we could have a big party in January. But the theory was that, you know, every year it would be a good excuse for another party or a celebration or a way to kind of get away. But January comes, which is like, we'll just stay put on the sofa, shall we? We'll just stay here. It's fine. It's fine. Do you want a glass of ginger wine? Yeah. But I think it's nice as a habitual practice maybe to drop some things, and this kind of having a point to review and say, okay, that's what I learned, that's what's different, that's what I want to change going forward, or how I want to feel differently. That's a very useful point. So what would you drop, or rather, here's another way of thinking about it. So if I'm looking at my sort of list, things that, this is interesting, things that you thought you wanted to do that haven't happened.
Well, definitely those things for me are the things I said around freedom and peace. I didn't get most of those done.
I haven't booked skydiving.
I haven't booked skydiving either, but that wasn't on my list.
I haven't written my book.
Right.
Hasn't happened. Haven't been to the Scottish Isles. I'd kind of forgotten that.
Well, the Scottish Isles are not going anywhere.
They're not going anywhere. And actually, there is something up that I might go up to Scotland for, but it won't be the Scottish Isles. But I think, you know, I can't remember what was in my mind when I wrote that. There was something that I wanted in that hasn't happened. Yeah, photos, that's happening now. So there we go, right at the end of the year. But it's actually been quite an interesting year, I think, in terms of doing things differently.
I think a more interesting question than what was on there that you didn't do is what was on there that you didn't do and you feel bad about.
Oh, that's good.
Because it's okay not to do some of the things. But you see, for me, like not looking after myself better, not doing the Art Tribe stuff, although we are beginning that now. I regret that. I think that, you know, I should have. Whereas some of the other things, I think, well, I changed my mind about doing that. So moving across the country, I don't regret not doing because I changed my mind. So with the book, for example, do you regret that or do you just feel like it's not the right time at the moment and I'm okay with that?
I just feel like it's not the right time at the moment and it's okay.
So it doesn't matter, does it?
Yeah. No, the one thing that I've got is a personal thing, which is taking a trip with my dad. It just didn't work out. A, they did a lot of traveling, which they then realized absolutely exhausted them. And like you say, medical wise, other things have sort of overtaken that.
Mum and I have talked about going to Ireland, where my dad's family's from, and she's done a lot of family history research, and we were going to go there and see, and then she's been ill, and there's always something. And I really want to make that happen next year because I don't know how long she'll be well enough. I mean, at the moment, yes, she's ill, she has cancer, but honestly, she's like the star cancer patient of Yorkshire. Everybody wants to meet her because she's even the hardest chemotherapy they give her, she just like gets up and goes, yeah, is that the best you've got? Give me more. So she's amazing. So she's doing really well. So once all that chemo's over, I would like to take her and do that. But it is hard when maybe that won't be possible because she might not carry on doing really well. And I know how you feel. It's like, oh, did we let that chance go? But you can't do everything.
You can't do everything.
And no. You can't control what happens in people's health. And you've done lots for your mum and dad that isn't taking them on a trip. So,
yeah.
What was needed.
Isn't it interesting, though, how a lot of this is coming back to personal things?
Mm.
And I think that's, I mean, maybe everybody else is really good at that.
What, managing their personal things and...
Yeah, I think their personal things are priority.
Do you know what? I do come across a lot of people who make their personal things the priority and their painting doesn't get done.
Okay.
Or they don't go on Instagram and sell it, or they don't. So, yeah, there's definitely people who do that. But then they feel like, oh, why can I never make time for the businessy things or the painting? So we never get the balance right. I think we're always probably doing this. But the other thing that's happened this year for me that's thrown the balance off a bit is that halfway through, well, no, in about April or May, I suddenly knew, oh, I want to get a bigger workspace and I want it to be somewhere that people can come to for workshops or retreats. And so I went on this pursuit, as which I've talked about on here before, and I looked at various options. Nothing was quite right, or it was right, but it wasn't going to work out for one reason or another. And that is very time consuming and frustrating when you're like, but that was a perfect, except the planners say you can't do this or whatever, something gets in the way. And I think I may have got to a solution on that now for next year. And that will be exciting. And it's ended up being something very different than I imagined in the first place. But actually, it's ended up being something that I wrote down in my book probably 4 years ago.
Right.
Except the fact it's not by the sea, because the idea I had was originally for a place like this by the sea, and this isn't by the sea. But other than that, it kind of does fit my criteria from a while ago. So that's interesting that something that I wrote down all that time ago is now coming back in a completely different way. But my point was, we make these plans and goals, but then if something else comes up that you realize is, oh, that's what I want, I don't think you should brush it aside because you had these other plans. I think you should pursue the thing that feels the most exciting.
Yeah, definitely flexibility over sticking to something rigidly. And I think what we're saying is having a degree of patience and acceptance. And when I say acceptance, I don't just mean sitting back and taking it. I mean going with the flow acceptance, because if we talk about, I don't feel actually like I have been less involved in a way in making my art, but that means I've been more involved in other things. That doesn't feel like things have been out of balance. That feels like I've been broadening out a scope. Very often I don't even know why I'm doing this. I don't know what I'm going to do with this. I don't know why I'm doing this. I don't know why I'm spending time on this. Sometimes literally, why on earth am I spending time on this? You know, why did I sign up to do this thing? This is like, I do not have time for this. Why am I doing it? And it all eventually gets somewhere that you think, oh, okay, right. Certain little jigsaw pieces are starting to fit together and make a little bit sense to me now. And yeah, it's just that patience element, isn't it? I'm not very good with patience. But getting better. I'm getting better.
And accepting that you don't always know, as you say, why. Patience and trust in just doing the thing that feels like finding this space. I feel like I've got to do that for some reason. I feel like I need this bigger space, but I can't really explain it. And my very practical friend, when I first started talking about it, was like, well, yeah, but what's the plan? And I was like, I don't know. I just know if I've got the space, the plan will come. Yeah, but what are you going to use these various rooms for? I don't know. Because the particular building I was looking at, a commercial building, it had several rooms. I don't know, but I can tell you I'm going to use them all. I know that. And now I'm going to fill them all with something.
But think how much better you've got at doing that process over the last 5 years of following the nudge of something.
Yeah. Yeah, I didn't used to.
No.
Trust in myself to follow.
No.
I didn't even hear a nudge, let alone trust myself to follow it. No, you remember me.
Like, and it's always gradual. It's always kind of gradual shifts and those kind of moments of realization. Anyway, yeah. So maybe worth digging out what you thought in January. It is a nice process to do, I think, because we're never, and just remember, we're never the same. And like next year is never going to be the same. It's just like, what's your understanding and where can you make changes, or where can you accept things with a little bit more, you know, understanding and appreciation perhaps. And I do think this year it's taking longer. Everything feels slower towards the end of this year than it has done previously. Maybe I'm just ready to like press stop.
Yeah.
Not hyped up on like Christmas markets or selling or doing things minute. Or
Christmas markets, what a nightmare. Not big crowds of people are pushing to get to a stand selling, just tap. Awful. Sorry to anyone who's doing a Christmas market. I'm sure your stuff's lovely.
I went to our local kind of maker's market, and let's do this in What's Inspired.
I have one too. Do you want to go first? You go first because it flows on from.
Yeah, okay. So I had a lovely day last week, which finished up with a maker's market, where I was really looking forward to going and buying myself another treasured mug from a local ceramicist, because the last one has survived a whole year. So I'm allowed to buy myself another one. What is that all about? I don't know. But there we go. I was really looking forward to going and choosing it. And I bought lots of things, including candles from a guy who makes them still in his mum's kitchen, and some lovely laser cut wood things for the tree. I had a really lovely time. It was on Black Friday, actually, deliberately not buying Black Friday things, but buying things from people who had made them themselves.
I want to actually take back my buying tat. What I don't like, it's not tat in a lot of these markets. It is in some. In a lot of them, it's beautiful things, but I just can't be doing with the crowds. And the place I wanted to go is this beautiful big old mill near me. And I thought, oh, this would be a lovely trip out to see. And there was some lovely ceramicists there and stuff. And then on Facebook, they posted, bring gloves and a coat because you'll have to stand outside because there will be big queues. And there are some cafes you can pop into while you're waiting. And then we'll only be able to allow so many people in at a time. And I was like, oh, that sounds awful. No, I don't want to queue with that many people to get in. No, but it did look lovely what they had. So I do take it back, and apologies to everybody for my casual comment. I just don't like the idea of all the crowds. But yeah, there was some lovely stuff.
I think it goes back to conscious buying for me. Not spending on things that you're going to treasure and really use and enjoy. But what's really inspired was earlier in that day, I went to see the Marina Abramovich at the Royal Academy.
Oh my gosh,
if you ever want to question the purpose of your existence and if what we do...
Do I want to? Okay, go on.
It was extraordinary. It was a really extraordinary exhibition, because you think, how are they going to put on an exhibition about performance art with performances that have happened like 40 years ago? How are they going to do this so that you can actually experience it or understand it in the same way that as this would have been performed? And actually, it was a more extensive exhibition than I was expecting. Maybe it was one of those lovely things where I just thought, this is an opportunity. I don't want to miss this. I want to go and see. Performance art is not my thing, but I think she is an extraordinary person. And I really didn't want to miss it. But I hadn't done any research. I didn't know how big the exhibition was going to be. So I was going to say pleasantly surprised. I'm not sure pleasantly surprised. The guys I went with, if you're listening, you'll be laughing, because when we left, we were like, okay, let's go and have lunch and order a bottle of wine as soon as we can. It's quite challenging. I would put a caveat out, probably not to go with be sensitive about if you want to take younger people with you. And it's extraordinary. It's really extraordinary how they portray some of the performances she did. The one where they lay a whole load of different items on a table and members of the public were invited to use them on her body to actually see those items and some of the video. I mean, it's just, you know, and doing that didn't put her off. But like, what do you learn about humanity doing something like that? It's really quite extraordinary. And it does make you think, huh, this is really art. And there's an element of, when I get my knickers in a twist about colour mixing.
Yeah. Yeah. There's some of that whenever I go, I'm coming with Tracy for a day just to see the Holbein at Buckingham Palace, because there's an exhibition of all his drawings and I absolutely love history and I love Holbein. And so I'm coming to that. And when you first started talking, I thought, well, we'll have the afternoon. We could go. And then I'm thinking, can I deal with that? I think probably not at the moment. I think I'll just take your word for it, because it does sound amazing, but also really difficult.
And a little tip for anybody who's wanting to go. So I messaged one of the people. I said, yeah, we might need that after seeing the naked people. And she's like, naked people? Are there going to be naked people in it? When we got to the room that has the performance, and it's a man and a woman standing in a doorway. It was done initially as the entrance to an exhibition, and it's to do with the idea of the artist giving of their body and how comfortable are you and what you have to give, and you have to squeeze through this space between them. When we got to the room where this was in, and they've set it up so that you don't have to, you can walk around if you want to, they weren't there. Just the doorway was there. So we stood in our clothes in the doorway facing each other just to see what it would feel like. And actually that was quite an interesting experience, because you're putting yourself, like, how comfortable does this feel for us with our clothes on? Now imagine people coming through. We were standing like right with our backs up against the wall. And then we waited, and then they said, okay, the performers are coming back now. Can you clear out of the way, please? Obviously, yes. Good, they're coming back. And they came, and when they stood quite a long way away from the wall. So the gap between them was really quite narrow.
Right.
Really quite narrow. But the tip is, if you go into that room and they're not there, spend a bit of time and wait, because they will come back again. And of course, there's this lovely list at the end of all the people who are performing in it. So they're not the only ones. There are other rooms where people are performing, and I was quite interested in the practicalities of some of that, because one of those was an original 12-day piece where she didn't eat for 12 days. Now I'm guessing that the performers who are doing that now aren't operating on exactly the same schedule, but the curator in the room didn't exactly know. But I think it looked from the performer list like it was, they were doing a day each. But yeah, great exhibition.
I don't think I have anything that inspiring. So
that's
I'm
good.
Not
usually it's you, not me. Okay, that's it from us for this week. And we are going to be taking a little bit of a break. So that's the end of this season. If you don't subscribe already, you might want to subscribe so you get a notice when new episodes pop up in the new year. Until then, we wish you a very happy break. If you miss us, you can always pop back, listen to some of the previous episodes. Apparently, 198, What Does It Mean to Be an Artist, is number one, according to Spotify. So
we can't remember what it is, but it might be good.
Enjoy your Christmas and New Year, and we will see you again another time.
Bye.
Bye. It's the end of this season.
Yeah. It's a season that was 234 episodes long. Then we're going to start season 2 when we come back.